Daniel chapter number 10. And while you're turning, I want to say it's a joy to be here. I've enjoyed all the preaching and the good spirit of God. And I was thinking about when I pulled on the grounds this afternoon. I'm going to tell you, Mike Qualls is the greatest preacher I know. How many of y'all think Brother Qualls is a great preacher? Say amen. I tell you, he's the greatest preacher I know. And because I left here yesterday evening at 3:30 and he was preaching. I came back at 5:30 today and he was still preaching. I got out and told my wife, I said, Lord, he was preaching when I left. I said, let's go down and hear what he say. Man, preach that long. I want to hear what he's got to say. And I started down the parking lot and he said, I got 10 things I want to give you. I said, man, if you still got 10 things after a day, I just turned around and went back up there. So I had to pick on him. I love Brother Qualls. I mean that. And you got to go a long ways to find love like we have for each other. And but I appreciate him. And it's good to be saved. Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house, and good to be amongst God's people. And well, I'm thankful Brother Morgan and this church has had this meeting these years. And you know, you always have opposition in the work of God, and you just got to go on, amen, and trust the Lord. Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Let's bow for prayer, then you can be seated. Our precious Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence once again tonight, Lord, as we come to the throne of grace and mercy, we do come in Jesus' name. God, we know tonight that within us dwelleth no good thing, and that all of our righteousness is filthy rags. Lord, we know tonight that without you, Lord, we're powerless. God, we need your help tonight. We need your touch. Lord, we do not want to stir the emotions tonight of anyone, but God, we want to just simply bring glory and honor to your name. And I pray, God, that you'd be glorified. I pray your son would be magnified and the church would be edified tonight. Lord, I pray most of all we'd see no man save Jesus only, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you on the outset of this message to notice 4 things tonight, and I'll preach one of these 4 things. I want to preach on the subject tonight concerning a spirit-filled saint of God. A spirit-filled saint of God. Notice first of all here in this text tonight that we see the timing of the text. As the Bible says that it was in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And you know that Cyrus was the nephew of Darius, who was the one that placed Daniel in the lion's den. And that's important because chapter 10 is 533 BC now, and Daniel is not a young man anymore, but he's well into his 90s, and he's in the walking years of his life. And so we see the timing of this text here. Secondly, I want you to notice tonight the thing that is in this text. Verse number 1 says that a thing was revealed unto Daniel. Now the Bible tells us 3 things about this thing. In verse number 1, it says first of all that it was revealed, and secondly it says that this thing was true, and finally it says that this thing was understood. Now the question in my mind is, what is this thing that the Bible is talking about? Well, the word thing thing simply means a word or a revelation. And Daniel has received another word. He has received another revelation. And God said the word that Daniel has received, which is the word of God, he said that it was revealed, that it was true, and that it was understood. Do you know that can be said about all the word of God tonight? It doesn't matter what chapter or what verse it is. I'm glad the Bible that I hold in my hand tonight, that every bit of it has been revealed. Amen. That every bit of it tonight is true, and that every bit of it can and should be understood. Amen. And so there is the thing that's in this text. There's the timing of this text tonight. But then there's the turmoil that is in this text here, because there's a lot of turmoil that is taking place in chapter 10. What I mean by that is that there is, first of all, social turmoil. You see, the decree has been given by Darius now, and the Jews can go back and they can start the rebuilding of the temple and of the city. But the problem is, it's been 2 years since that decree has been given, and less than 50,000 Jews has went home. You might be here tonight and say, well, preacher, if they've been given liberty to leave Babylon, why in the world would they want to live in captivity when they can go home and live in victory? I want to tell you, friend, the reason is because they got so comfortable in Babylon, they got so used to the Babylonian lifestyle, and they grew in love with the Babylonians, and they loved Babylon more than what they did Jerusalem. That very same thing is happening in our churches tonight. Friend, we've got people that choose to live in captivity when they can live in victory and they can live in the will of God. Victory is found in the spirit-filled life. It's in a life of total surrender and total submission to the will and to the word of God. And so we see the turmoil. There is a social turmoil, but then there's saintly turmoil. And what I mean by that tonight is that Brother Joe Daniel is concerned about the lack of concern amongst his people. Amen. You remember in chapter 9 that Daniel bore his heart to God. He prayed for his nation and he wept for his nation. He had a great burden. And the reason Daniel had a burden was because the people were not burdened. And I don't know about you, but if there's ever been a time when burdens are missing in our pews, it's right now, friend. We've got more money, we've got more machines, and we've got more ability to do things than we ever have. But the missing element amongst the children of God is very few people are doing what they're doing with a burden. Amen. I'm telling you, Daniel is so burdened because the people are not burdened. And so there's saintly turmoil. And then there's spiritual turmoil, because what God does in chapter 10 is he pulls back the curtain in this chapter here and he gives us a sneak peek behind the scene and lets us see what happens when a child of God begins to pray. For Daniel prayed for 21 days, and for 21 days it looked like the heavens had turned to brass. For 21 days it looked like God was nowhere to be found. For 21 days it seemed like Daniel could not pray through. But thank God, when you can't pray through, you just need to pray on. Amen. Because that's what Daniel does. He just keeps on praying. But Gabriel comes down and he finally gets to him and he assures Daniel that the first day, Daniel, that you prayed, your prayer was heard and the answer was on the way. But there was a warfare between good and evil, and for 21 days hell fought heaven over the prayers of Daniel. I want to say tonight, we pray a lot of times and we don't see results, but we can't give up. Amen. We can't throw in the towel. You say, well, I just don't feel like I prayed through. Then you ought to just pray on. Amen. Because somewhere, some way, somehow, chapter 10 proves that God always answers. The devil always loses, and prayer always works. Amen. And friend, there is turmoil in this text tonight. But then there is triumph in this text. I was reading this passage one day and the thought came to my mind. Daniel is in the walking years of his life. He's probably in his mid-90s. You know the cycle of life as well as I do. That the older we get, it's not the stronger we are, but it's the weaker we become. The longer you live down here, there's one thing I can assure every one of us tonight. Your flesh will grow tired and will weaken the older you get. Daniel starts in chapter 1, a young man strong and making a strong journey. But in chapter 10, his body is feeble. His body has weakened. Less than 50,000 Jews go home. It was a 600-mile journey from Jerusalem to Babylon, which would take them about 30 or a little bit over 30 days. Daniel does not go home with those 50,000 because perhaps maybe this last vision, God wanted to give it to him in Babylon, or perhaps another reason. He may not have been physically able to make that 600-mile journey. His body has grown weakened. You say, well, preacher, it doesn't sound like there's no triumph in that. No, not physically, but though physically he has grown weaker, spiritually Daniel could not be stronger. Amen. You see, I think that's the will of God in the cycle of life for every child of God. As we grow weaker physically, the closer we get to the end of the journey, we ought to grow stronger spiritually. Amen. The more we serve God, the stronger we ought to be. Amen. But you know what's happening all around us? There's people that have served God for years. I'm talking about preachers, friend, that I thought they'll never come. Compromise. They'll never go another path. Brother Tarvin, I thought they'll always stay with the stuff, but they're not even amongst us tonight. They turned and went another path. They changed course. Friend, I don't want to grow weaker. The longer I serve God, I want to grow stronger, don't you? And in chapter 10, Daniel could not be more spiritually awake and more spiritually alert than what he is. He is walking with God in the walking years of his life. Amen. I'm talking about the spirit-filled life tonight. You know, years ago, and I'm not that old, but I can remember this, that years ago there was two sermons that it seemed like was preached in every revival meeting you went to. It was the second coming of Christ and the spirit-filled life. And friend, I challenge you tonight, when's the last time you just popped in on a revival meeting somewhere and the man of God got up and preached on the spirit-filled life and Jesus coming again? You see, that was the song of the church and that was the strength of the church. The church had power because they were filled in the spirit, and the church had anticipation because they was looking for Jesus to come again. I'm telling you, in this sleepy hour, in this time when people are full of complacency, and my friend, they're full of apathy. I don't want to roll over and play dead. Amen. I don't want to coast to the finish line. I don't want to sit on the sideline. Friend, I want as much of God as I can have, don't you? I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. In this text tonight, there's seven things that marks a spirit-filled saint of God. I'll give them to you tonight and be done. I want to say number one tonight, a spirit-filled saint is sharp. They're sharp. Notice what verse number one says. That in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Now watch this. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. If you want to know who the sharpest person in the Babylonian kingdom in chapter 10, it's not some king, it's not some politician. It's not some young man fresh out of a Babylonian college somewhere. It's not somebody running in their youth or running in their strength. But the sharpest person in the Babylonian kingdom was a 90-something year old man who physically, his body was falling apart, but he knew more about what was happening in Babylon and what was taking place around the world and what was going to happen in the future than anybody else walking on God's green earth. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, Daniel may have been out of touch with Babylon, but he was in touch with heaven, friend. Daniel, my friend, he may not have listened or been attracted to the things of Babylon, but he sure had heaven's attention. What I'm saying tonight, friend, is in these last days and modern days, I don't want to be in touch with this world. I want to be in touch with that world. Amen. I'd rather know more about what's going on in heaven's headlines than in the world's headlines. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, this world's not our home, and we ought to know more about over there than what we do over here tonight. Amen. Man. Spirit-filled people are sharp, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Brother, they know what's happening and what's going on. Spirit-filled people know when God shows up in a service. Somebody say amen. And they know when he doesn't show up in a service.
Spirit-filled people know when God's touching a song. They know when God's in a sermon. And listen, we're living in days when I'm telling you some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen is going on in church nowadays. Can I get an amen right there? And what's more crazier than that is we've got people sitting in our pews acting like it's the most wonderful thing in the world. Brother, they drank the Kool-Aid. They think God's in anything and everything. I'm going to tell you, if it don't line up with this King James Bible and if it don't line up with the fundamentals of the faith, I don't care how many people it draws. I don't care how many people shouts it on. I don't care how popular it is. It will not be of God. Somebody say amen. And they'll look at you like you don't have a clue what's going on. Spirit-filled people are sharp. I remember being in a revival meeting a few years back, and first time going to this church, and this lady got up to sing, and can I be honest with you? She couldn't sing. Boy, y'all are spiritual, aren't you? Has anybody ever heard anybody that couldn't sing? Now, don't be afraid to raise your hand. About seven of us tonight. This lady got up to sing, and I'm sitting there, and she started singing. I thought, oh, man. Whew. I mean, she's halfway through the verse, and I mean, it's terrible. The only person that sings worse than her is me. But I have enough sense not to get up and sing a special. Now, come on now. The only people mad when I preach this is the ones that can't sing that want to sing. Y'all know what that's like, don't you? Why is it people that can sing don't ever care if they do sing, and people that can't sing, you got to beat them away from the microphone all the time? Amen. I mean, they're the one that stands right smack in the middle of the choir under the microphone where everybody hears them over the choir. Now, you know that's right. Amen. And the pastor tries to wiggle them around somewhere else because they can't sing. Well, this lady could not sing. I thought, she's terrible. Well, I'll tell you something. I was thinking, why do they got her? Because she was not just the special singing Monday night. She was the special singing every night of the meeting. I thought, why have they got her singing? And when she hit that second verse, I realized she's just warming up on the first verse. She is waiting on somebody to show up. And brother, when she hit the second verse, somebody stepped in the middle of that aisle. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about tonight? And I found out real quick why she could sing. Because God don't bless a song. He blesses a life, friend. Isn't that right? You say, well, God, there's some good songs written. I understand that. But I'll tell you, some people can sing a song and listen, it won't do anything. Somebody else can get up and sing the same song. Guess what? Heaven will come down and we'll all be shouting. You know why? Because God puts his stamp of approval on who he wants to and who he don't want to. And we're living in a church world today. They don't know anything about discernment of the spirit. I'm not an authority on it tonight, but I know when it's there and I know when it's not there. And you do too if you've been around it. Amen. I'm talking about spiritual people are sharp. Amen. I remember one night in a meeting, a man came up to me. He wasn't a preacher, wasn't a teacher. Come up, a pair of overalls, looked like Santa Claus. And he came up to me and said, preacher, can I tell you something about serving God? I said, sure. He said, there's three kinds of service. He said, there's service for the Lord. He said, that's being busy. He said, a lot of people doing that. He said, then there's service with the Lord. He said, that's getting in the yoke and serving him and letting him do the leading, doing the guiding. I thought, man, that's pretty good. He said, but the highest level of service is service unto the Lord. He said, it's when you do what you do for the glory of God. What I'm saying to you tonight is, that was a spirit-filled man of God. He wasn't a preacher, he wasn't a teacher, but he walked with God long enough to figure out what serving God was all about. Spirit-filled people are sharp. Secondly, I want you to see tonight that spirit-filled people are steady. Amen. Daniel said, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Think about this. For 3 weeks, Daniel has done the same thing. Isn't that right? He's been steady for 3 weeks. When he couldn't see God, when he couldn't feel God, when he couldn't hear from God, he just keeps doing what he knows is right. I thought about this when I read that passage of scripture in verse number 3. Daniel is doing the same thing in verse number 3 that he was doing in chapter 1. Isn't that amazing that he's doing the same thing in chapter 10 that he was doing in chapter 1 when he showed up in Babylon and the king spread the table and he put portions of his meat in the wine which he drank? Daniel said, I'm not eating that and I'm not drinking that. Amen. Well, guess what? In chapter 10, he's doing the same thing in chapter 10 in his 90s that he was doing in his 20s. Amen. You see, tonight, Daniel knew that what worked when I was young, it'll work when I'm old. Amen. If it worked in my teenage years, it'll work in my elderly years. I want to tell you something tonight, friend. We don't need something new and improved. We don't need the latest and we don't need the greatest. Hey, listen tonight. We just need to stick with the old stuff. We need to hoe the same row. We need to preach the same message. We need to sing the same songs. We need to worship the same way. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm talking about spirit-filled people. They're steady, friend. They don't change. Can I tell you something? Daniel's not about to change in chapter 10. He's done been to the table. He's done been to the den. He's done took his stand. He's done, my friend, been put to the test. And Daniel said, I've come too far to turn back now. He said, I know what'll work when nothing else will. Can I tell you tonight? Preaching still works. Amen. Old time singing still works. We don't need contemporary music. Somebody say amen. We don't need country music. We don't need, if you won't shout, I'll just get mean, preach on everything. Amen. I'm just saying tonight, we don't need everything that comes down the pipe. We just need to, my friend, be what we've always been. Stay the course and stick with the stuff. Hallelujah. We got too many people wobbling in these last days. And isn't it amazing when they change course how they become a martyr and a champion for the cause? Brother, they're all time on social media defending what they're doing, acting like they're being persecuted. And can I just be honest with you? When you're right, you don't have to debate nothing. Somebody say amen. I don't got to put a post on there every other day. I don't got to convince the world this is the right way. When you're in the way, you know it's right, friend. The world, I don't want them to, but they can go on and do what they need to do tonight. But I found a lily in my valley about 30 years ago. I've been in the good way. It's a blessed way. It's God's way. It's the right way. It's the best way. Hallelujah. I'm saying tonight, I'm just going to stick with the old stuff. Hallelujah. We need some folks that'll be steady in these last days. Preachers, preach the way you've always preached. Somebody say amen. That means you gotta have grace, you gotta have compassion, but you gotta name some things every now and then. You gotta preach on sin in 2018 like it was preached on in the 60s, in the 70s, and the 80s. You can't be worried about the number on the board. You can't worry about a paycheck. You can't worry about who's who. I'm telling you, just got to be steady, friends. Spirit-filled people are steady. They just don't change. Then spirit-filled people, I want to say this, not only are they steady, but look at verse number 4. They're simple. The Bible says that in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. You know, Hiddekel's that Tigris River. It's one of those great rivers that God put in the Garden of Eden. The river Euphrates, the Tigris River, flowed from the beginning of time and creation. And Daniel, I think about his life. He is in retirement now. He has took his stand. He has been in the den. I mean, he's made his mark on society. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows where he stands. Everybody knows what he's doing. And you know what it would have been real easy for Daniel to do? He could have just said, you know what? I'm about to check out of here. And this crowd's really not got the burden they need to have. He's done seen the future. It would have been real easy for him to sit in royalty the rest of his days under the Babylonian shadow and palace and just lived out the rest of his days and just coasted on out. I'm going to tell you something about Daniel, friend. The lights of Babylon and the things of Babylon, they didn't entice him when he was a young man, and they sure didn't entice him when he was an old man. He said, I told Belshazzar in chapter 5, he said, I'll tell you what's on the wall. He said, but you can keep your gifts and give it to somebody else. He said, I'm not for sale, Belshazzar. I'll tell you the truth, and you don't got to pay me to tell the truth. I'm going to tell you what Daniel said in chapter 10. He said, God, I don't need a palace. I don't need some great royalty. Just give me a little place by the river Hiddekel where I can sit down and feel the breeze of heaven pass by. God, if you'll show up and meet me down at the river, it'll be enough. You see, friend, God was enough for Daniel when he was young, so he was enough for Daniel when he was old. Hallelujah. Can I tell you tonight, the spirit-filled life is for everybody. You don't got to be 100 years old to be filled with the Spirit. I'm telling you, every teenager, every young person tonight, if you want to be filled with the power of God, you can have it tonight. You say, what I got to do to get it? Just yield. Surrender. Turn the keys to the house over to him. Come to an altar tonight and make a memorial down here and say, God, I'm tired of living my life. I'm saved and I'm sealed, but I want to be filled. Amen. I want you to have complete control of my life. I'm tired of calling the shots. I'm tired of setting my own goals. I'm tired of deciding what I'm going to do with life. I'm giving you the keys to the house. I'm giving you the keys to the car. I'm giving you the checkbook. I'm giving you everything tonight. I'm stepping out. Amen. I'm crossing Jordan and getting in victory tonight. God, I'm settling out lock, stock, and barrel. I'm yours. Do what you want to. Tell me where to go. Tell me what to be. I'm yours. Amen. Brother, if we're ever going to have revival, we're going to have some people, have to have some folks that are willing to pay the price. And I'm going to tell you about serving God. It ain't about success. I don't know everything tonight, but it ain't about success. It's not about who's who, and it's not about having something flashy and something that draws attention. Serving God's work, friend. Can I get an amen right there? Serving God's about getting in the trenches and rolling your arm sleeves up, and you're going to do a lot of stuff nobody's ever going to see and nobody's ever going to recognize, but the one keeping the record, the one that's going to reveal it all on judgment day, hey, the one that signs a paycheck. My friend, listen, they may be a lot of people patting you on the back and pumping your ego, but the truth is they don't sign your paycheck on judgment day, friend, but the one who owns it all and the one that it's going to count, he's looking down. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Amen. I'm saying, friend, live the simple life. Give God everything. Give God your all. Make your life about serving him. Young people, get on an altar and be a missionary. Be a preacher. Be a preacher's wife. I mean, we need some young people that'll say, I'm just going to sell out and I'm just going to live the simple life. Amen. I'm going to live for God. So what? Can I say this tonight? So what if you don't have a big house? Amen. So what if you don't? If your kids don't get a college degree? Brother, nowadays, if you don't send your kids, and I'm not against them going to college, you understand what I'm saying. But so what's wrong with being a housewife, amen, and raising children and being a godly mother and being a faithful wife? What's wrong with that, amen? I mean, what's wrong with being a mother that can pray heaven down and pray their kids out of hell and pray for the man of God? What's wrong with being a blue-collar man that'll get up and punch a clock and go to work and raise a family and pay tithes and support the church and support missionaries and support the man of God? Hey, listen, what's wrong with that? You may not have much down here, but it'll be worth it over there. Spirit-filled people are simple. Let me move on tonight. Spirit-filled people, let me say this in verse number 5, are spiritual. And I like verse 5 and 6 because it defines what real spirituality really is. You see, the Bible says here that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a certain man. He sees a man by that river. And that man's not Gabriel. It's not Michael. It's not Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob neither. You say, who is that man? It's the man. It's a pre-incarnate Christ. Boy, listen, Daniel looks across that river and he sees him standing there. And the Bible said his body, his torso was like euphaz, which is the color of topaz. And so his body was shining like topaz. He said his face was flashing like lightning. He said his arms was like polished brass and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his voice was as the sound of many multitudes, a voice of many multitudes. I'm telling you, Daniel saw Jesus in these verses here. Daniel could tell you who Jesus is. Can I tell you how you mark spirituality? You don't mark it by success. You don't mark it by a shout. Somebody say amen. Some of the meanest people I ever met in church were shouters, friend. I mean, they could shout the house down in church and be mean as a devil the rest of the week. A shouting don't make somebody spiritual. Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you what does make somebody spiritual is when they've got a clear view and they've got a clear description and they see him on a personal level. I'm telling you, listen, Jesus was fresh in the life of Daniel. Hey, is the Savior fresh in your life tonight? When's the last time you saw his face? Oh, preacher, I'll tell you, 25 years ago on an old-fashioned altar, I saw him. I hope you've seen him. Hope it's been sooner than that. Spirit-filled people see Jesus on a daily basis. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you tonight, it's amazing what will bring a shout up in a church nowadays. Can I just say this? You can, listen, I like hard preaching, but you can preach hard some places and they'll shout you down like crazy. And then you can start talking about mama being in heaven and they'll shout you on. Amen? And then there's places like tonight, it don't matter what you say, nobody's shouting. Somebody say amen there. Y'all help me out a little bit. But then you know what? I like to get in them places when you talk about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother, if anything ought to make your heart do a cartwheel tonight, it ought to be when we start talking about him. Amen. I don't care if it's a song or a sermon or a testimony. Just the very mention of his name ought to be so fresh on our heart. I'm telling you, we ought to get fired up. We ought to feel the breeze of heaven. I'm telling you, isn't he the sweetest thing? Isn't he the sweetest person you know tonight? He is the lily of the valley. Isn't that right? He is the bright in the morning star. He is the sweet rose of Sharon. Thank God he is our refuge. He's our rock. He's our shelter in a time of storm. He's the anchor of our salvation. He's our hope. Thank God he's our buckler. He's our shield. He's our strong and mighty tower. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's that which is, which was, and which is to come. He's the Almighty. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's my Savior. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's a Prince of Peace. He is tonight. Hallelujah. Woo! 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 Hallelujah. He is tonight. And they ought to not nothing excite us more than him. How many of y'all know Tom Barnes tonight? How many people know Tom Barnes? I believe he's a spirit-filled man of God. I'm going to tell you something, Tom Barnes. If you say Jesus, you better mean it, friend. Isn't that right? Because he means it. I sat in Steak and Shake one night with him. A lady come up and she said, well, isn't the Lord good? And she could tell it was Wednesday night. Everybody sitting there was dressed for church. And I don't know if she's saved or not, but she said, isn't the Lord good? And I don't even know if she meant it, but old brother Tom Barnes did. Amen. The minute she said, isn't the Lord's good? He said, well, hallelujah. He sure is, young lady. And all she wanted to do was take our order. And for the next 5 minutes, he gets talking about Jesus. And he don't talk a lot, he don't talk low about Jesus. No, everybody in Steak and Shake heard about Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, she come back with them milkshakes and he wanted to tell her some more about Jesus. He got so fired up talking about Jesus, he turned the milkshake over on her, me, and everybody else sitting in that booth. But he didn't even care. Amen. He's a shouting and a crying and a slinging snot. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he's excited about the one that he loves, the one that he serves. We don't see a lot of excitement in church anymore. Man, there was was a time when you sung about him. People ran the aisles. They jumped the pews. They shouted you on. There was a time they sat on the edge of their seat and they was ready to hear about it. And they came looking for it. I would to God tonight. He had rent the heavens one more time. He had poured my friend his presence out. I'm talking about Jesus tonight. Amen. I think every Christian ought to live separated. But living a separate life without living a life of fellowship with him is an empty life. And it'll make you nothing but a Pharisee in the end. I'm talking about spirit-filled people. They're spiritual. Let me say this. I'm going to move on and be done. They're separated. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. Verse 8. Therefore I was left alone. You see, there's two kinds of separation. You know this. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel is separated from the world. He's in Babylon, but he's not of Babylon. Amen. He lived in Babylon nearly all of his life, but Babylon never lived in him. Babylon means confusion. Because Daniel separated in his early years, in his young years, while he was a teenager, a young boy, he separated from the world. And he gets over to chapter 10. And that's not just in chapter 10, but even before chapter 10. But God says to Daniel, Daniel, you know, you've lived separated from some things. And because you've separated from some things, I'm going to separate you to some things. I'm going to let you see some things that nobody else has seen. I'm going to let you hear some things that nobody else has ever heard. I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to show you somebody that not anybody else has seen in your day. I'm telling you, friend, living a separated life is the best life you'll ever know. I know, listen, that doesn't been popular in a lot of churches today, but I'm telling you, young person, you hear me tonight, mom or dad, you hear me tonight, you get on an altar and you sell your life out to him. You surrender your all to God. You say, I'm not going to live like the world. I'm not going to the honky-tonk. I'm not going to the liberal crowd. I'm not going to the country music crowd. I'm not living like the world. I'm going to separate from this world. I tell you what God will do. He'll put his touch on your life. He'll separate you to some things. You'll feel his presence. He'll be closer than he's ever been. I'm talking about spirit-filled people. They're separated. Amen. You see, there are people tonight that all of us could name their name. And immediately, the same thought comes to mind. If I was to say, Sammy, Brother Sammy Allen, everybody here is thinking the same thing. A spirit-filled man of God. He's not running around telling us he's filled with the Spirit. But it's evident. There's a separated walk. Tonight, do you want that higher ground? Do you want to go further with God? Do you want to go to the top of that mountain with God tonight? I'm talking about tonight, friend, that separated life. Spirit-filled life is a separated life. And then spirit-filled people are small. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. Daniel says, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me. He said, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. I want you to realize tonight that Daniel has seen all these visions. The book of Daniel is named after him. Daniel was the man in Daniel's day, but Daniel never bragged on himself. Daniel never lifted himself up. All the visions and all that heaven had to say and about Daniel, Daniel never saw himself tall. He never saw himself strong. He saw himself weak. I think what's killing us today is that people have too much of a premium on themselves. The flesh is being magnified too much. It's in our pulpits. It's on our platforms nowadays. Brother, I'm telling you, we're living in an egotistic society, and sad to say, it's in our churches today. You want the power of God? Listen, have a low estimation of yourself. You want the power of God? Don't see how high you can climb a ladder. See how low you can go, friend. You want the touch of God on your life? You get down where nobody wants to get but you and God, and he'll show up every time. Amen. He won't meet you at the top, but he'll sure show up at the bottom. Amen. I'm just simply saying this tonight. Spirit-filled people are small. We've got so much self-promotion. We've made celebrities out of preachers, celebrities out of singers. I believe in giving honor where honor is due. And I'm telling you, there's one that we ought to magnify. There's only one. I'm telling you, I don't care if 1,000 preachers show up tonight. If he don't step under this tabernacle, it's all in vain, friend. If he don't walk amongst us tonight, we've met in vain. We don't need each other near as much as we need him. Amen. And I know we need each other tonight, but I'm afraid we've ruined a generation of preachers. Y'all still with me? We've ruined a generation of preachers. Somebody asked me the other day about a mantle. They said, whose mantle do you think you have? I said, well, I looked inside. I said, I got a Sears. I mean, a J.C. Penney's, not a Sears. We get crazy with things sometimes. You preachers hear me. Quit chasing mantles and chase God. Amen. I tell you whose mantle you're going to have. You're going to have your own who you're going to have. Amen. And I understand what they're talking about. But I'll tell you something. What happens is if somebody thinks they've got somebody's mantle, then it takes God 10 years to get the ego out of them. Isn't that right? And then others are walking around, well, I ain't got so-and-so's mantle. I must be a second-class preacher. I'm going to tell you, the greatest preachers I know are preachers walking the halls of penitentiaries. Amen. They're preachers pastoring churches on the backside of nowhere. Brother, they ain't preaching to thousands, but I tell you, they're preaching. Amen. They're knocking doors and they're plowing the field and they're doing everything else that everybody else is doing. Their name is never going to be in lights. Their name's never going to be on a poster. That's all vanity anyway. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, friend, I'd rather get recognized at the judgment seat of Christ for a life well-pleasing and serving to him. I'd rather stay small in this world as the world chants your name and stand empty-handed at the judgment seat. I'm saying, friend, spirit-filled people never see themselves as anything good. Amen. In fact, you want to know, there's only two men in the Old Testament that the Bible didn't say anything about their sin, and that's Joseph and Daniel. But Daniel's sin is mentioned. It's in chapter 9 because Daniel talks about it himself. He doesn't say Israel has sinned. He says we have sinned. He didn't say Israel's rebelled. He says we've rebelled. You know something tonight, spirit-filled people, they always see themselves as they really are. The closer you get to him, the more you see yourself. And I say this in closing, spirit-filled people are submissive. The Bible says that Daniel in verse number 9, that he was on his face toward the ground. An angel picks him up in verse 10, and when that angel drops him down, he's on his hands and his knees. Spirit-filled people are submissive. You know why it's so hard to pastor these days? Well, I'm telling you, we're pastoring people nowadays. It's harder than it's ever been because people are not surrendering to the Spirit. If somebody will rebel against the Holy Spirit, they'll rebel against the pastor. Is that right? You take a teenager that won't submit to the Spirit of God, they're not going to submit to their parents. You take a church member that won't surrender and won't submit to the Holy Spirit. Hey, you take a preacher that won't surrender to the Spirit of God. He'll have the attitude, bless God, ain't nobody telling me what to do. It's my church. I'm tired of hearing people say, my church. It ain't my church. Somebody say amen. Brother, it's his church. Isn't that right? I don't want to own anything. I just want to belong to something, don't you? Aren't you glad you belong to something tonight? I'm talking about submission. And tonight, if you want to live a spirit-filled life, that's where it all begins. Surrender to God. Tonight as we stand, I want us to come and get a song ready. One simple proposition. The moderator's coming. I want to ask you this question tonight. Are you a spirit-filled preacher? I didn't ask you if you was a successful preacher. Are you spirit-filled? Are you a spirit-filled young person? How about it, singers? I think it's important to do your best and hit every note, but it's more important to be filled with the Spirit. God can make up for our mistakes. He can take our nothings and He can do something with it. They don't need us, but we all need Him tonight. I wonder tonight, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you a Spirit-filled mother, Spirit-filled father?